The setting is a bland television studio in Chicago. The camera is focused on two men in business suits. One man is sweating, mopping his face, his dark eyes darting back and forth. He's pale, thin, and looks exhausted. The other is tanned, rested, and confident, looking straight into the camera, right into the eyes of America. Even the black and white TVs of the day tell the story. Senator John F. Kennedy, facing off against Vice President Richard Nixon, is the golden man of the moment. Nixon had been in the hospital, lost 20 pounds, and was sick that evening of the first televised presidential debate. He'd refused television makeup, and his heavy 5 o'clock shadow made his face look shady. He looked so bad that his mother called him after the broadcast to see if he was all right. Content-wise, each candidate made his points. In fact, most radio listeners thought that Nixon had won the debate. But television viewers had the opposite reaction. Sweaty Nixon looked like a jowly mutt, and to millions of newly minted American television watchers, there was no contest. Who would want to vote for a clammy crank? Give us the debonair, handsome one with the amazing hair. Though charisma had always had its part in the political process, television's magnified lens meant that forever onward, until Jesus returns, political discourse would now be shaped by image over substance. Still, the handsome young Senator Kennedy prevailed in the 1960 election by only a narrow margin. And yes, Richard Nixon came back in 1968 and created his own unique presidential history in the 70s. But in January 1961, President Kennedy and his sophisticated wife, Jackie, swept into the White House on a glamorous tide of youth, charm, art, and culture. A month before John Kennedy's inauguration, a coalition of communists and insurgents called the Viet Cong had organized to fight against the existing regime in South Vietnam. In early 1961, President Kennedy sent an evaluation team to Vietnam. They recommended a buildup of American military, economic, and technical aid to confront this communist threat. Concerned about a domino effect in Southeast Asia, with countries tumbling to communist rule one by one, the Kennedy White House quietly increased the U.S. presence in Vietnam. Then, Nikita Khrushchev, leader of the Soviet Union, put the youthful President Kennedy to the test. Khrushchev, famously belligerent, had lost his temper at a United Nations General Assembly session in 1960, ripped off his shoe, and started beating his desk with it. The USSR had long wanted beachheads for nuclear weapons able to strike the United States. And on October 14, 1962, an American spy plane photographed a Soviet medium-range ballistic missile being assembled for installation on the island of Cuba. This was 90 miles from the coast of Florida. A launch on the U.S. from Cuba would mean the death of 80 million Americans within 10 minutes. The Cuban Missile Crisis brought America to the actual brink of nuclear war with the Soviet Union. It seemed that the world as we knew it would end in a mushroom cloud. It seemed